Thank the Lord for salvation today. I'm a little bit congested, so I trust I'll be able to, you'll be able to hear me and understand me. But pray for us as we're endeavoring by the grace of God to minister in the way that He would have us to this morning. I want us to turn to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And I'd like for us to begin reading at the 12th verse. We're going to read down to about the 17th verse. And we want to deal with bitterness today. Bitterness. If you have it, you can start reading the 12th.
12th chapter, 12th verse.
Yes.
Wherefore?
Lift up the hands which hang down.
And the feeble knees.
And, feeble knees. And make straight paths for your feet.
Lest
lame, that which is lame
be
turned out of the way.
But let it rather be
healed.
Follow peace
with all men.
And holiness
without which no man shall see the Lord.
Looking diligently,
lest any man fail of the grace of God.
Lest any root of bitterness
springing up trouble you,
and thereby
many be defiled.
Lest there be any
fornicators
or profane person
as Esau,
who for one
morsel of meat
sold his birthright.
For ye know
how that afterward,
when he would have
inherited the blessing,
he was rejected.
For he had found
no place for repentance,
though he sought
it carefully
with tears.
Now, he said,
it starts here with,
lift up your
hands which hang down in
the feeble knees,
and make straight paths
for your feet,
lest that
which is lame be turned
out of the way, but
rather let it be healed.
So,
part of
healing,
sometimes
when we're dealing with emotional
things, is for us to
let it be healed.
So in other words,
we can
go on and we can
keep something going
for a very
long time
and it has an
effect on us
and we just won't
let it heal. It's just
like taking
a
sore. You have a
sore on your
hand, your
any part of your
body. You keep
picking at it.
It is not
going to heal.
One of
the prerequisites
of healing
is to
let it alone.
One of
the things that we do
is we put protective
coverings on it,
don't we?
You have a
cut or a scrape,
and you
put a protective
covering on it,
and you put something
that soothes it,
and then you
put a Band-Aid or
something, some
kind of a
bandage on it
to make certain
that it is not
affected by that
which is
on the outside.
In the same
way, when there
is something that happens
to us, and
generally speaking,
bitterness
happens when,
or
we are affected
in
various ways
when someone
does something to us.
Maybe
they don't
realize they did it.
Maybe they did it
on purpose.
Whatever the
situation is,
if we want
it to be healed,
we've got to
stop
concentrating
on it, don't we?
We
can't tell
our best friend,
do you know what
they did to me?
And then
when we get through telling
them, we tell somebody
else. We have
to give that to the
Lord, cast that
on the Lord, and
leave it there.
If we
don't cast it on the
Lord and leave
it there, it'll never
be healed.
So
whatever it is that
you're going through, whatever
offense that
somebody did to
you,
you're going to
have to clean
the wound, so to
speak.
Yes, they wounded
you.
Yes, it is a
legitimate
wound.
Yes, you have
every right
in your mind
to justify
you being angry
and upset at what
they did. But
let me tell you,
if you want to
get through this,
you are going to have to let
it be healed.
You're going to
have to allow
something to happen to
you, the Lord,
to do work, a
work in you
where you can
get over it
by the grace of
God. Now,
that person may never
come to you
and apologize.
They may not
even know that they
did it and that
they wounded you
to the extent that they
wounded you. But
your responsibility
is to go to
God, have the
balm of His grace
put on it, and then
let the
bandage of...
He did it for us.
We
wounded Him.
He was
wounded for our
transgressions.
And so
what did He do? He
was bruised
for our iniquity.
Was it because
of something that He did?
No,
it was because of
something
legitimate
that we did.
We sinned
against
Him. He was
wounded.
He was bruised.
But you know,
it was the
power and the grace
of God
that this
forgiveness
of our sins
is what Jesus
did. And what is our
responsibility?
To forgive
our brothers
of His trespasses.
You
will have somebody
to do
something to you
before your
lifetime is up
that
wounds you
deeply.
It goes down
to the bone, so
to speak.
A compound
fracture, whatever you
want to say, it
affects you in such a way
that you're going to need
something more than just 5 minutes of prayer and getting down at your bed at night and getting back up or coming, you're going to need the Lord to go down to the very core to set this thing right, and then you to be able to let it alone and let it heal. Lord, help us. I have seen over the course of my life so many people that won't let it alone. And let me tell you what happens. When someone hurts you and they go through this, maybe whatever they did or what they didn't do, it could be a sin of commission where they did something against you, or it could be something that they should have done that they didn't do. Whatever the case may be, these people have hurt you so deeply, and what happens is you fall off the wagon, and folks get up, you fall off the wagon because of what they did. And folks get upset at God for letting it happen to them. Lord, help us. God lets a lot of things happen. What did we learn in our Sunday school lesson today? The Lord Jesus was tempted. We're going to be tempted too. What is this temptation? Is it something that the Lord brings to our lives so that we can fall? He's just looking forward to us falling? He wants us to backslide? No. It is a testing. Sometimes the Lord sends us to these places where he gives us lessons and he teaches us lessons. Right? Yeah. Even as we're sitting here. What is it like in one sense when you go to college? Sister Amy, you're in college. What happens in your classroom? Or you're a teacher. What happens in your classroom? You stand up in front of them and you teach them the lesson, right? All right? You use the board here. And is that what your professor does?
Yes.
All right. The professor does the same thing. All right? So she's a teacher. She teaches in the elementary school. Then she goes to school at night. And the professor stands up and he teaches you a lesson. And today the lesson is, let's say, it's going to be on reading or writing or arithmetic, whatever it may be. And then what happens after the lesson? You have a test. What are you going to do tomorrow? You're going to study and you're going to take a final, right? A final exam. All right, so here is the same thing. If we do it, and this is the way that we learn, by having the lessons taught to us, and then we have the test to see if we've learned it. All right, the Lord does it in the same way. He, through the foolishness of preaching, the scripture says, we learn things. So what happens is he teaches us various ways. That is not the only way that we learn, is it? We teach our little babies, and the ones that have babies, they are constantly teaching. That baby hasn't been in school yet, doesn't even know how to talk yet. But that baby is constantly learning right from wrong. No, you don't do that. Okay, now you can have this, but you can't do that. We teach them how to talk. We teach them life lessons, don't we? All right, and as a result of that, they learn. They pick up things from us. In the same way, God does it. So the Lord allows us. In some ways, we have a lecture. This is a lecture. Today, our lesson is on bitterness. It may not be something that you have to deal with today, but at some point in your life, there's going to be a test on this. All right? So the Lord is going to give you the basic premise and the basic understanding of it, and you're to go home and you're to study it, and you're to make certain that bitterness, there is never a root of bitterness in your heart. Let me tell you, there's going to be plenty of opportunity for somebody that you love. Let me tell you about husbands and wives. Do you know a husband can do something to a wife and vice versa that causes a root of bitterness? And what is a root? A root is something that is under the surface, and it may be here, and you have a lot of little roots here, but it doesn't sprout up it doesn't sprout up necessarily really fast, does it? But there can be a root of bitterness, this is the surface here, underneath the surface. Something that you have the ability to hide, and nobody knows about it, really, but you know when that person does something to you, it really affects you in a certain way. That's a root of something that's there. Lord, help us. We need the Lord to help us not to have bitterness in our heart. There is going to be a test, and somebody is going to test you on it. Probably somebody that you don't want. Those that are closest to you tend to be the ones that test you the most in these little areas. You know what I'm talking about? All right? So he says here, follow peace with all men. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace. So what does that mean? That means for us that it's our responsibility to do all we can to be a peacemaker. Yeah. You know, some folks, their natural demeanor is they don't like confrontation. And then there are those that their natural demeanor is that they don't mind it at all. And when you get somebody that doesn't mind confrontation at all, they're going to say something that's going to affect you in some kind of a way, aren't they? And you are not going to like it. We've all met them. You didn't have to say it like that. My goodness. That's what we say. All right? But we're to follow peace with all men and holiness. If we don't do it, we're not going to see the Lord. Looking diligently, we look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Now, what this is telling us here, we look diligently. We look at what? What somebody has done to us? Or we look at our own life, our response and reaction to what they have done. Our job is not to go and change the other person. Our job is to make certain, because it's hard enough, I've learned over the years, it's hard enough to change me, let alone trying to change somebody else. It is impossible to change somebody else. At least that's what I've found. Anybody been able to do it by talking to them about, I haven't been able to do it, but there's a way to change them. And we'll learn that a little bit later on in this lesson if we're able to get to that. The way to change somebody else is to change yourself. And once you change yourself, it really won't matter if they change or not. You know, you get enough of the grace of God in you, whatever they're doing against you won't affect you like it has in times past. So I need the grace of God. Is it sufficient for me, or do you just need it and to stop doing this to get on my nerves? No, the grace of God is sufficient for me. And so what I must do, I must seek the Lord for the grace not to respond with a level of bitterness in my heart against what you've done or what this individual has done against me. I need the grace of God. And if it's sufficient enough to stop them from doing it, it's sufficient enough to stop my reactions to it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
There are going to be some times that the Lord is going to say, I'm not going to do it. He said it to Paul. He said, Lord, please take this as a thorn in my flesh. And he said, I want you to take it away. And the Lord says, he asked the Lord three times. And what did the Lord say? Okay, I'll take it away to make it a little easier for you. He said, no, Paul. He said, I'm not going to take it away. My grace is sufficient for you, because you need to understand that my strength, the strength of God, is made perfect in the fact when you know that you're weak and you can't do it by yourself. Then you tend to lean more heavily on me at those times than when you know you can do it yourself and you can get it all done like you want it done. Lord, help us to understand that.
Amen.
So the Lord may not take the trial away, but he always has a bountiful grace for you to be able to apply that to your life and get through it by the grace of God. You don't have to be bitter.
Amen.
You don't have to be offended at people. Yes, they did something. Let me tell you, I think every time that somebody offended me, I think it was legitimate cause that I had, so to speak. I'm not really sensitive. And so it takes a lot to offend me. And so I think, now that's just my personality. Some people tend to be a little more sensitive than others. I tend not to be. Now, I do get my feelings hurt. I don't want you to think that I'm superhuman. You can say some things that hurt my feeling, but it's not something that you can do too easy. I've learned it over the years that it's just not good. You got to have a thick skin. What would it be like if you suppose the President of the United States would go over and suck his paws every time somebody said something negative about him? Huh? Oh, they feel this way about me. If you don't have a thick skin and you get your feelings hurt very easily, you cannot be the President of the United States. You can't do it. And you know what? You can be defiled by getting your feelings hurt. This is what the scripture is talking about. Fail of the grace of God fail. You, any man fail of the grace of God. So in other words, it wasn't that the grace failed, it's that you failed to get it. Lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Do you know what? A lot of folks, they're not going to go out in open sin, but they're going to have bitterness in their hearts. They're not going to go out and they're going to testify. Let me tell you what happens. Let me tell you, people stop right there where they've been offended. And you can go back 10 years, and everybody else didn't forget about it, but when you get to talking to them, they go right back to that spot that they haven't gotten over yet.
Yeah.
And, well, the reason I ain't this is because of what they did. And wasn't that in, when was that? 1973? Lord help us.
Yes.
All right? Don't let it happen, saints.
Amen.
All right. Now, I want to go a little further because I want to bring out this Genesis 25, verse 24. We're going to skip around there. If you have it, you can read it for us. Genesis 25, verse 24. Yes.
Behold, there were twins in her womb.
Twins in her womb.
And the first came out red.
Yes.
All over like a hairy garment.
First came out red like a hairy garment.
And they called his name
Esau. They called his name Esau.
After that came his brother out.
And his hand took hold on Esau's heel.
And his name was,
called Jacob.
And Isaac was
80 years old
when she bare them.
And the boys grew,
and Esau
was a cunning hunter,
a man
of the field.
And Jacob
was a plain man,
dwelling
in tents.
And
Isaac loved Esau
because
he did eat of his venison,
but
Rebekah loved
Jacob.
Okay, stop there for a moment. Now, here is a situation. These are twin boys that grew up, same parents, born the same time. One was older than the other. Esau was the elder son, which had a right to the inheritance. He had a right to have a blessing that that only belonged to the firstborn. So here is the situation here. And we find here that Isaac and Rebekah was partial to one of the sons or the other. So in other words, the father had a partiality to Esau because he loved his venison. He was an outdoorsy kind of a person, and he liked being in the outdoors. No doubt Isaac liked the same thing. And Rebekah had this tendency for Jacob, because Jacob dwelt in tents. He was kind of an indoor guy. And, you know, the Lord makes us in different kind of personalities. There's nothing wrong with that. But here, what we find here is that the parents were partial one to the other. And do you know that that no doubt caused strife in the home? Let's just say all of us grew up with, a good majority of us grew up with siblings. And sometimes you had a little fights with your siblings, and you thought, well, Mama always let you get away. You get away with anything. We had those kinds of conversations behind closed doors, so to speak. You get away with anything. You can get Mama to get you. And they were having these kinds of conversations with each other because of the father having partiality to one, the mother having partiality to the other. Do you realize that some of the things that we are dealing with as adults, we are affected because of what happened to us in our childhood? Now, we can get over it once we acknowledge that this happened. We have emotional issues and problems because of how we were dealt with, maybe with the adults in our lives. Maybe you didn't grow up in a good home where your parents were good parents. This was a very dysfunctional kind of a family. We find that out because of the way that they worked together. And we understand that this is before Jesus Christ came in the grace dispensation. But still, when you look into this family, it is one of the most dysfunctional families in the scriptures. All right? And it's a family that has the lineage of Jesus Christ in it. But here is Isaac liking one son, Rebekah liking the other. And then what we find out, and for the sake of time, we won't read all of it, but I'll kind of paraphrase it. What happens is, let's read 29. Let's start at 29th verse and read that.
And Jacob sought pottage.
And Esau came from the field, and he was faint.
And
Esau said to Jacob,
feed me,
I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint.
Therefore
was his name called Edom.
Jacob
said, sell me this day thy birthright.
Esau
said,
behold,
I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear unto me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. So Esau, this outdoorsy guy that likes to be outside, going out hunting and running and all the things that he was doing, he comes back in and he stayed out a little bit too long. And maybe it was the fall and there weren't berries or apples or whatever it is that he could have eaten, and he didn't take anything with him. And he came back in. He couldn't go to the refrigerator like we do. He couldn't stop at McDonald's like we do just to get him a quick bite to eat and come home. They had to go out and kill. You ever notice what they did when somebody came over? They went out, they killed a goat, they skint it, they cooked it, all these things they had, that he had to do before he could eat. So it would have been several hours before he could have eaten. And so he comes in and he's thinking, his brother, there's a pot of beans on the fire. And his brother, oh great, let me have a bowl of beans. I'm hungry. I'm famished. This man just wasn't hungry. He was famished. And so Jacob, different personalities in families here. One, Jacob understands that I've got an advantage here. Sell me your birthright. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? Sell me your birthright. You want a bowl of my beans? These are my beans. You want a bowl of my beans? Sell me your birthright. And he says, I'm not selling you my birthright. Well, you ain't getting a bowl of beans. They're brothers. They can talk to each other like this. And then he said, well, Jacob, you really ain't going to give me that. No, I'm not going to give it to you. You sell me your birthright and I'll give it to you. Well, what good is it? I'm finna die anyway. This man didn't realize what he had. Do you realize that every one of us have a right to heaven?
Yes.
Every single one of us. And it doesn't seem like it's that important yet. Because a lot of people aren't living for the Lord. They have a right. Every person, no matter where you are, no matter where you were born, no matter what you, how you were brought up, Muslim, Buddhist, whatever, you have a right to heaven. All right? And the Lord is going to present it to you, and the devil is going to present something to you, and he's going to say, listen, you sell me that birthright, and I'll give you something that is satisfying only for the moment. This exchange is made on a daily basis. Every single day that is presented to the majority of us to sell what you know about yourself, sell your salvation for something that tempts you out of the world. Don't do it. It is only for a moment. And let me tell you what makes it, why it's so foolish for you to sell your birthright to heaven. It's foolish for a bowl of a soup, or for riches, or for a nice car, or for a girlfriend, or a boyfriend, or whatever it is that you want to do. It is foolish for you to do it because you know for a fact that you're going to die. And you don't know when. If you knew that it was going to be 20 years from now, on January whatever, then you could take a chance. You're going to have one chance between now and then, that somewhere around the end, you could take a chance then. But you can't take one when you don't know. All right? Let me go on and get down to what, to all of this. All right, he sold his birthright. So he didn't feel like it was that, the scripture says he despised his birthright. It wasn't that important to him at the time. And it really wasn't important to him until the end of his father's life. So when he got down to the end of his father's life, and for the sake of time, there was a deception between the Jacob and Rebekah, the mother and the other twin, to go and steal that birthright. But we have to understand that Esau had something to do with Jacob being able to take his birthright. He despised it. Now, had he not done that, he said, oh no, you can have them beans. You can have whatever you want. I ain't selling you my birthright. Mm-hmm. Had he done that, Jacob wouldn't have been able to come in under and do what he did. All right? So I want you to understand that there are some times that there are things that we do that affects and opens the door for somebody to do something that literally affects us. So I want to read a little bit just for us to get a clarity of here. Let's drop down to the 30th verse and read that. Now hold on. Before we do that, you can read this in your own time. But for those that may not know the story, what happened is Isaac, the father, told Esau, the oldest son, to go out and kill a deer, bring it back, make him some savory meat, and he'd come and he'd bless him. Well, the mother, Rebecca, heard that. And the mother, Rebecca, who liked Jacob, told the other twin to go, and I'm going to dress you up in your brother's clothes, and I'm going to make you look like your brother. You're going to try to sound like your brother, and I'm going to go and get one of these goats. We're going to kill it, and we're going to make it look like it was venison. And so you're going to go in, and you're going to get the blessing over your brother. This is a mother's scheming. This is a mother that's scheming against her son, who she should love both of them equally. What difference did it make who got the birthright for her? But she loved Jacob more than she loved Esau, and the father the other way around. This is why I'm saying some of the things that we deal with in our childhood, we need the Lord to let it be healed. We need to let it heal, don't we? Mama liked you better. She always liked you better than me. Well, maybe that's true. But at some point, you need to go to the Lord and get the grace to be able to say, Mama liked you, Mama's gone. I can't do nothing about that. Or maybe Mama's still here, and she still likes you more than she likes me. But I've got the grace of God that the Lord likes me more than he likes you. So Mom can do all, whatever. But this is really a story. This is really what took place here. But we're going to have to get through these emotional passages of our childhood in order to have a healthy, clean life. And we need to ask the Lord, Lord, let me go back to what Mom and Dad did to me and how it affected me. And now it's affecting my marriage. It's affecting my relationships. It's affecting it's affecting my salvation. I need to be healed. And we go to the Lord and we ask the Lord, Lord, take away the bitterness. Let me be healed of this situation that happened way back when. And the Lord will do that. All right? So now they went in and the father said, come here, son. It has the voice of Jacob. But he felt him and the father was blind at this point. And so he felt him and he said, all right, you feel like Esau. But you sound like Jacob, and he gave him the blessing. And he gave him the venison. He said, how did you get this done so fast? He said, well, the Lord blessed me. He's just up there lying. Yeah. And he gave him the venison, gave him the goat that tastes like venison. The mama knew how to do it. The mama taught the other son how to do it. So she knew exactly what the father wanted. So he blessed Jacob instead of the firstborn. And now what we find is in the 30th verse, what do we have here? Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee. Is that 30? 27 and 30, verse 30.
And he made him a feast, and they did eat and drink.
Okay. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, that's what I want. He was scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? He said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that has taken venison and brought it to me, and I have eaten of all before thou camest. And I blessed him. And yea, he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. He said, thy brother came with subtlety, and has taken away thy blessing. All right, let's drop down to 38. And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. This affected this man. This affected this man. He and his brother kind of in competition. I know a little bit about that. He and his brother in competition, but this is his birthright. And he had every right to it. And now it's been taken away from him. And now through deceit from his mother and his brother, the one that came out of the womb with him, the one that shared the womb with him, this man that should have been his confidant, the one that he loved the most, this one is the one that undermined him. And now he wept about it, but we have to understand that Esau had something to do with what just took place. Sometimes you and I have something, we open the door for people to do things against us that we don't even realize that we open the door. At the time, it did not seem like we were opening the door. It did not seem like it was that important. But we come to the understanding that, oh, I did this X amount of years ago or last month or whatever. And that's what gave them the fuel or the opportunity to do against me what they did. Had he never sold his birthright, his brother would have never been able to deceive his father. So he has to take responsibility for what it is. And sometimes when we understand that, we take responsibility not for what they did to us, but for what I did to allow them to open the door for them to do it. Lord, I shouldn't have done this. I repent. I'm asking you to have mercy on me and make it right. The Lord will do that for us. Isn't that wonderful? Then he'll do it for us. All right? So here is this. And let's go to the 41st verse. And Esau hated Jacob
because of the
blessing wherewith his father blessed him.
Esau
said in his heart, "The days of the mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will slay my brother." I'll kill Jacob. I'm going to kill him. You know how you ever say, "I'm going to kill you"? We kind of, folks, say it in kind of in a playful way, which really shouldn't say, but people say, "I'm going to kill you." This man was his brother. He was going to kill him. All right? Now, sometimes folks are bitter at you because they see the blessings of the Lord upon your life. You ever realize that? Has anybody ever been jealous of you and jealous of what you've accomplished, jealous of what God, how God has blessed you? This Esau was upset because of the blessing that was put on Jacob. But we have to understand that Esau should have and could have had that blessing, but it was not Jacob's fault only that he didn't have it. It was Esau's fault that Esau despised it. He could have had the blessing. And in the same way, any one of us, when you see your brother, the Lord has blessed them, you can have the blessing too. Don't have bitterness in your heart because the Lord has blessed somebody else. But here is what happened with Jacob and Esau. Because of that blessing and because of what he did. Now, I want to say from the human standpoint, and maybe you say, "Brother Darrell, you just don't have enough grace," but it's just the truth of the matter of where I am. I would have been upset too. Now, I don't think I would have gone to the point of wanting to kill my brother. But I would have been upset that you undermined me. You're supposed to be my brother. You undermined me. You and mama. Y'all got together. Y'all did it. You know what? I would have been hurt. I would have been hurt. And you know what? It took some grace of God for me to get over it. Every time, my brother, my twin brother, you did this to me. But then when he steps back, looks in the mirror and says, "You know what? You did it because of what I did." It takes some of the pain away, doesn't it? Lord, help us. So we understand that this, his mother heard about Esau getting ready to kill Jacob, and she sent Jacob away. And do you know how long Esau hated Jacob? 20 years. From that man went somewhere else to another land, got married, stayed away for 20 years, and then Jacob then got over it. Jacob realized he was kind of a little deceitful kind of fella, had his own personality issues. He was a deceitful little fella, and he'd gone to Laban, who was the heritage of his mother, Rebekah, which was a deceitful woman. And then Laban was a deceitful man. Y'all read the story. Most of y'all know it. But you read the story. All of that side of the family, they were all like that. They were. They were. Rebekah's side of the family were deceitful. And so Esau stayed away from them. And now this really is a good story when you really read all the rest of it, some of the issues that they dealt with and whatnot. But what happened is Jacob then got over this area that happened 20 years ago. But Esau hadn't. Now Jacob is getting ready to go and he sends the messengers to his brother and he says, "Esau, listen. I'm coming and I'm wanting to meet up with you. I haven't seen you for 20 years." And you know what Esau said? "All right, you coming? Okay." And Esau started to come. You know what he came with? Huh? He came with his army. He came with 400 men. 20 years ago, you did me wrong and I promised I was going to kill you then. I'm finna make good of it right now. Bitterness. And you know what? That root of bitterness had it started right here. It was all under here, maybe kind of under a little sprout here, but now it was a big oak tree. It was solid. It had taken root. He hated his brother, and he took 400 men, and he was going to kill him. And what did Jacob do? Jacob started sending presents. "I'm going to send you all these. Take all these." And Esau do? Did Esau, "Oh, that's nice. Nice little present. All these, the herd of goats and sheep and all this." Did he take it? No. Why? Because he was bitter at his brother. And it had taken root and it had defiled him. And now he couldn't even see straight. All he could see is, "I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you." And what did Jacob have to do? Jacob realized that nothing was going to work but him getting in touch with God and wrestling with himself, who he was, and then letting the Lord make a change in him. Sometimes we're too concerned about the changes in other people when we're the one that need to be changed. Lord, I need you to change me. So what did he do? He found a little place. He sent his family away, and he began to pray, and the Lord met him there. And he wrestled with the angel until the breaking of the day. He put his hand in his thigh, and he displaced his leg. And what did he do? He still held on. He said, Lord, I need you to bless me. That blessing that my father gave me 20-some years ago is not good enough for what I'm going through right now. Lord, I need more. So he said, Lord, will you bless me? And he held on to the Lord until the Lord gave him the blessing. He said, your name is not going to be Jacob anymore, but it's going to be Israel. And he did it. And what happened? When Jacob met his brother, everything changed. They didn't get around a conference table either, saints. But what Jacob, again, what Esau did affected what Jacob did. Now what Jacob did is affecting the spirit of Esau. When somebody is embittered at you and they don't want to have anything to do with you, Lord, help us. This is not easy. This is not something that's easy to do. You find a place in the Lord and you go there and you wrestle with the Lord. You say, Lord, take the bitterness out of my heart. Lord, change me. I'm the one that did this to my brother. I'm the one that stole his birthright. Lord, and that blessing is long gone. I need something fresh. I need a fresh anointing now, Lord. And what did the Lord do? The Lord, his brother is coming there. That wasn't even part of my message. His brother is coming. And he can see that there's something different about Jacob. Yeah. Now, let me tell you, he's coming to kill him. Yeah. A vow that he made 20 years ago, and bitterness and all this other thing had grown into something that's far greater than what it ever would have been had his brother not done that. All of this bitterness that's been a part of his life for the last 20 years, and then he sees his brother coming down the road, limping his head, and Jacob is saying, I don't care if you kill me. It doesn't matter. Yes. I did you wrong, brother. Have mercy on me. Somebody find that. He passed over before him. He bowed himself. He was completely humbled. Where is that at? At the 33rd chapter of Genesis?
Yes.
All right. All right, read.
Until he came near to his brother.
He bowed himself down to the ground seven times. You know what seven times is? It's a sense of completion.
Yeah.
Lord, I don't care what you do. You can kill me. You can beat me. You can do whatever it is that you want to do. But I'm going to submit myself because I was wrong. I shouldn't have done it. No matter if you did sell your birthright, I shouldn't have done what I did. And he bowed himself down completely. And what happened?
Until he came near to his brother.
Esau ran this same man. Where's the 400 men? Where's the army? Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him and they wept. Oh, that's good enough. This is what humility will do. This is what when you take responsibility for what you've done wrong, it takes the bitterness out of somebody else's heart. The Lord does an operation on Esau. They didn't have any kind of discussion about what happened. Jacob, what happened to you? Jacob, he saw that Jacob humbled himself seven times complete, and the Lord took the bitterness out of Esau.
Yes. Amen.
Stop worrying about what other people do. You do what you're supposed to do, and the Lord will change that person.
Amen.
That husband, that wife. You know what the Lord said, what the scripture says? It talks about me and not being bitter. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Let me tell you, husbands, if your wife is bitter, wives, say it either way, if your wife is bitter, you take responsibility for what you've done. You humble yourself, whichever party, I don't care who is guilty, you humble yourself, you ask the Lord to change you, and when the Lord does that, he'll take the bitterness out of the hearts of the other person. Lord, help us. This is what it's all about, saints. This is what it's about. This is why we can't allow a root of bitterness springing up to defile us. It'll affect us. Can you imagine what Esau must have felt like? The burden of all this every time you said, Jacob, don't say his name around me. So all of the other folks tiptoeing, don't say Jacob around Esau. Because Esau is going to have a problem. Have you ever had a person, when somebody said, don't even call his name. Have you ever heard somebody say that? You know what that is? Bitterness. There's something that they need to work on. Let me tell you, 9 times out of 10, they are part of the problem. And generally a bigger part of the problem. They work on themselves, then everything else will fall into place. Jacob's been doing all right for the last 20 years. Esau, you're the one who's been eaten up by bitterness. Lord, help us. So we all upset at somebody else, and they're going on about their business. They're not even upset at us anymore. So you know what? Don't do no good for me to be upset at them either. But if I change, I've seen it happen. I know firsthand. The Lord can do one of two things. He can change me so completely that it affects that other person. And that other person is just as hard-hearted and they refuse to change. The Lord can so change me that I'm barely affected by them. Lord, help me. This is what the gospel is all about. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. It's not being able to be upset and try to be saintly about it. How do we do that? All right, let me tell you something. Let's see. I want to read Matthew 9, verse 6. Let's see. Let's read a couple other scriptures before we get to that. Psalms 64 and 3, and someone get me Ephesians 4 and 31. Psalms 64 and 3. Read that. Yes. Okay, so they use their mouth like a sword and their tongue like a sword, and they shoot their arrows even to shoot forth bitter words. So with their tongue, what that tells us is that the words that you speak to people can cause them to be bitter at you. Your words can be bitter. And the things that you say can affect other people. All right, let's go to Ephesians 4:31. We're almost finished. Appreciate your patience.
Let all bitterness
and wrath
and anger,
and clamor, and evil speaking, be put away with all malice. And be ye kind, one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Okay, so what are we to do? Put away. Put it away. Put it away. All bitterness, all wrath, anger, clamor, just put it away. Then what do? We're to forgive, be kind, and forgive. You know what? If you stop talking about it to everybody that'll listen. Let me tell you something. I'm going to give you a secret. Most people don't want to hear it. It's true. How many times have you thought, oh, I don't want to hear this again? You keep going over and over and over the same thing. Get over, deal with it some kind of way, but stop calling me about it. See, I'm not saying I say that. I'm saying that other folks say it. I'm not going to admit that in this pulpit. I'm going to let you speculate however you want to speculate. But sometimes you have to pray for yourself to listen, don't you? Lord, help me to listen. Help me to be nice about this. But Lord, help us. So we're to put it away. Put it away. And when they tell you, when somebody gives you advice to put it away, then take it.
Yeah.
Or don't call them back. If you want to have your pity party, they don't want to be a part. They don't want to be invited there. Lord, help us.
Amen.
Okay. We're almost done. Now, it says forgiving one another. We have to forgive. Now, again, Esau forgave Jacob or they wouldn't have been running to each other, embracing each other and crying. But then he said, oh, I'm sorry, brother, I forgive you. No, they didn't say that. It was known. It was known that my brother's forgiven me. This is what Jacob is probably saying, my brother's forgiven me. And Esau is probably saying, my brother's forgiven me. We've forgiven each other. That's what it's all about. And you know what? We have to, and now I want Matthew 6 and verse 9 and verse 6. Read that for me. Try to wrap it up. Matthew 9 verse 6.
That ye may know that the Son of Man
has power on earth to forgive sins.
Then said he to the sick of the palsy,
arise, take up thy bed. Now, what I want us to get a hold of here, that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Isn't that wonderful? I wouldn't be standing here. Most of us wouldn't be sitting here if he didn't have power to forgive. And what did he forgive? He forgave the wounds that I caused on his body. He forgives the things that I did, the bruises that I caused him to have, the suffering that I caused. He forgives it. He had the power to do it. But he realized it takes power. I want us to get a hold of this. It takes power to forgive. It's not just something that you can do. The power of God to forgive man his sins. And what does he say in the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Those that trespass against us, Lord, you forgive us and we'll forgive them. So the same power, the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, that same power is needed for us to be able to truly forgive somebody for the trespasses that they've made to us. So when there is bitterness that is so trying to rise up, we have to ask the Lord, Lord, give me the power to forgive that person what they've done against me. I need the power of God to be able to do it. And the Lord has it. He says, if you don't do it, well, let's read it. Mark 11, 25, and someone get us Matthew 18 and 32. And we'll be done. Mark 11, 25.
When you stand praying,
you forgive.
If you have aught against any,
if there's some bitterness that is trying to spring up and defile you, you forgive it. When you're praying to the Lord, you forgive it. All right?
Your Father which is in heaven may forgive you
your trespasses. So in other words, if you don't forgive your brother, it's going to hinder your prayer.
If you do not forgive,
neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. So you got, that's the prerequisite. We don't have a choice. We want to be forgiven by God, then we have to forgive our brother. Lord, help us. Now, last verse, Matthew 18, 32.
Then his Lord,
yes,
after that he had called him,
yes, he said unto him,
O thou wicked servant,
I forgave you all of the debt that I forgave you
because you desired me
to do it.
Shouldn't you have had compassion on your fellow servant?
Even as I had pity on you?
And his Lord
was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors
till he should pay all
that was due unto him.
So likewise
shall my heavenly Father do also unto you
if ye
from your heart forgive not every one his brother their trespasses.
Now, did you notice who he said?
Your brother.
Your brother.
You know who's going to trespass against you? Who's going to hurt you?
Your brother.
Who hurt Esau?
His brother.
Who's going to hurt you?
His brother.
Your brother.
Your sister.
And so the Lord says,
you forgive and God will forgive.
You don't forgive, God won't forgive.
Lord, help us.
We need power to do it. Saints, it's too serious of a matter for us to allow the enemy to defile us in any way with bitterness. Let me tell you, in closing, there are going to be plenty of people that you're going to feel like you have legitimate reason to stand your ground and to be offended. You feel like that. And then what happens all along is a little seed of rebellion and hatred. And what ended up happening, you'll just as soon murder your brother as just like Esau was going to do because you let bitterness in your heart. Now, let me tell you this. You may not I'm going to tell you, you know, you go to class, they're going to say, you might want to know this for the test. All right? You might want to remember this for the test. Okay? Everything I've said, you might want to remember it for the test. Because it's going to come. And you're going to have to have the power of God to be able to forgive somebody of the deep wounds that they commit against you. And you're going to have to, in your heart, forgive them so that it won't set up an infection. Let me tell you, a lot of infection has been set up, and folks can talk about the saints that done this, and brother so-and-so. Leave it alone. Let it heal. Go down to the, and ask the Lord, Lord, give me the power to forgive them of their trespasses, because I want you to forgive me of mine. Pray for me.